When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? Stop what you're doing and listen.
For Inside Husker information and fantasy football advice.
That's one of the things I talked to Bill about.
Follow them on Twitter.
Because I think the time is right for this. And it wasn't always that way.
At Husker_Nick.
I grew up like most kids, worried I couldn't bench two plates, that I wouldn't fit in, that I wouldn't find love. Then I discovered partying, and suddenly all those worries went to the wayside. I didn't need love. I had keg stands.
At ESPN. Hooksy.
It's amazing. Wherever I set course records or whatever, I would be barefooted, drunk, playing golf, making every 20-footer I looked at. But if you get me sober, I wouldn't make a ball.
Now, back to the show.
Yeah, I know, I know. It's all good.
Welcome back into Greg and Hooks. Happy Hump Day, and you know it's Hump Day, and we get Jameson Welch in the house. BasketballNews.com. Jameson, how are you?
Going well. Thanks for having me as always. Definitely appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, let's jump right into it. Big news yesterday in the letting go of Doc Rivers with the Clippers. Now it's coming out also on CBSSports.com that they apparently Ballmer consulted with Paul George, Kawhi Leonard to help come to this decision. Give me your thoughts on how all this went down, you know, the Clippers situation. And I don't think that Doc was the Clippers' problem either.
He wasn't the problem, but he was definitely one of the problems, if that makes sense. Whenever you have high expectations and you invest all that they invested into this season, losing in the second round the way they did is unacceptable. It's one thing if you have an injury or something crazy happens, that's one thing. You're up 3-1 in a series, you're up like 20 points in game 5 and game 6, and you lose both games going away, somebody has to take the fall for that. Now, we can all talk about the roster this, the roster that, et cetera, and that's a fair point. That being said, we all know it's easier to fire a coach than it is a whole roster. So with that being said, none of this comes as a surprise. You can't have what they invested into Paul George, you can't do and lose in the second round and keep your job. Somebody got to go. Something has to change, and that's what happened.
Hey, you know, when you're looking at Doc Rivers, good coach, good coach. He's had, you know, had a ton of success. A lot of people out there might say, well, he's living off the Celtics. He's living off that run and things like that, and really hasn't met expectations as Doc Rivers recently.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, he's definitely lived off of that ring. However, he's also lived off of the fact that he handled the Sterling situation very well. You know, that's the one thing I think people don't understand is that he handled that situation in a moment of crisis. And that gave him a lot of free will because at that time, there was a lot going on and there was really no one else to figure out. And he did that. So that bought him a lot of time. However, he's had a lot of good teams. It has not gotten to the conference finals. I mean, hell, Portland's got to a conference finals. Denver's got to a conference finals. Who else has? There's other teams that have gotten there that have not been as talented as his, and his team has not gotten there. So when you look past over this last 7 to 8 years, you can see why a change was made.
So that leaves a job opening, obviously. What direction do the Clippers look? And also, is there another potential head coaching job for Doc in the NBA? You're going to have some teams like the Sixers, teams like that, that are going to be looking. Is there a spot where he can land?
I think the Sixers will probably be the best fit just based off of the pieces they have and the kind of situation they have. He's a little different. He's able to handle egos and manage personalities really well. So Philly's probably the best step for him. That being said, he may want to take a break for a year. Sometimes it's best to stand back and just reflect and see what's out there in a year or so. So I don't really know the best spot for him is. I think, you know, there's a lot of offers. I mean, New Orleans is available. I don't know who's going there, though. If I had to pick a team, it'd be Philly. He is not dealing with Houston. He's definitely not doing that. But there's a lot of options out there. But sometimes it's best to just sit back for a year, relax, and reflect.
Hey, Jameson, with the Clippers job, on basketballnews.com, you guys put out an article about Ty Lue completes his interview with the Sixers. Is that a spot for him, or would it be wise of the Clippers, since they have him right there on the bench, you know, conceivably a players-type coach, is that their guy?
So usually what happens is this. When you have an assistant coach that's getting a lot of offers and he's on your bench and you have a decision to make, usually that decision gets made with that being in the, you know, that's in the process. So Ty Lue is at offers from New Orleans, Philly, and Houston in some roundabout way. With that being said, Ballmer's like, hey, if this is the best candidate available, why not go with this guy? So if that's the case, you got to make a decision on your own process, which they did, and it leads me to believe that that's going to be the move they make. Now, who knows what's going to happen because NBA and crazy things happen. With that being said, I think Ty Lue is the heavy favorite to be the next coach of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Again, we're speaking to Jameson Welch, basketballnews.com, at the THE Jameson on Twitter. Jameson, staying right around those coaches. You talked about this numerous times, and I think it was last week you talked about this, was Eric Spoelstra, Brad Stevens, and how much accolades that Brad Stevens gets, so much over there at the Celtics. Can we now give Spoelstra the credit that he deserves for what he has done?
Yeah, absolutely, because when it comes to Brad Stevens, a lot of people were in a rush to call him a genius and call him this great, great coach, and he's a really good coach. Like, there's nothing to take away from it. There's some things he's done, that, you know, some things that he has accomplished in his career thus far that's very special. That being said, he has no championship experience. He has no finals experience. So all these accolades, all this worship, like, where is it coming from? Eric Spoelstra, on the other hand, he's had some good situations. You know, he did have the big three. Mm-hmm. So that's always a good thing. He didn't mess it up, which is cool. Since the big three left, there was some bad luck. Of course, Bosch getting hurt. But he's kept them afloat. And it's not because of talent that they were losing. You know what I mean? It wasn't because they were getting out coached or anything like that. Sometimes they just didn't have the horses. But, no, he's been fine. He's been really good. They're a team that's always going to be in games. They play hard. So Spoelstra's a guy that he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach. This is a situation for him where he's able to showcase his coaching skills. And he also has one of the best mentors ever, Pat Riley.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Being able to go to Pat Riley, say, hey, what do you think about this? What should we do? Et cetera, et cetera. Not everyone has that same luxury. So him having that ace in the hole is always good.
And Jameson, I'll tell you, I was one of those people, you know, when LeBron made the decision and he went down there and with D-Wade and Bosch and Spoelstra came on the scene, and I thought, okay, well, this is just a figurehead. I mean, anybody can coach those three. And so I didn't really put much stock into it. But like you alluded to, you know, once the big three disbanded and it required some coaching, I think he's really earned his stripes. Now, with that being said, we're heading into the finals right now. As good of a coach as Eric is in breaking down film and trying to find a weakness in the Lakers, what do you see as far as somewhere where he's going to want to attack the Lakers as far as a weakness?
Well, he's going to want to make them make jump shots. He's going to want to make the Lakers prove that they can hit three-point shots and hit outside shots. So there's going to be a lot of zones. There's going to be a lot of doubling of Davis and James. You're going to see a lot of that. So the role players, Danny Green's, KCP's, Morris, Rondo, Caruso, those Kuzma, those guys, they're going to have to hit shots. They're going to have to hit big-time shots. If they're able to hit shots, everything's going to be fine. If they don't, and Miami is hitting shots, there could be some concern there. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that goes. But that's going to be the thing. They're going to basically say, hey, we're going to let you shoot. We're going to have you shoot. If you hit 35%, fine. But we're going to have your role players shoot and beat us that way. Davis and James are going to get their points. They're going to get their 50-plus combined points, probably even 60 combined points. But at the end of the day, as long as the others don't hurt you, Miami's can live with that. when the others hurt you and those guys get their points, there's no chance of beating them.
Now, Jameson, with that said, go ahead, give us your prediction and see. And how do you see this playing out throughout the series?
Well, I have the Lakers in five based off of the matchups and the situation that we're in, because when I look at Miami, they are a very good team. They are a very well-coached team, but their depth, especially up front, bothers me. When you got to go against Anthony Davis, who is the second-best player in this series, you need to have a little bit more up front, more than Bam. And Bam is a very good player, been on the smallish side, closer to 6'9 than 6'10, but he's a very good player. He's been playing lights out in these finals, so take nothing away from him. With that being said, you need a little bit more behind him. You can't put Olynyk out there. You can't put Jay Crowder out there. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be very curious to see what they do. But with that being said, I have the Lakers in five games. I do think they are the better team. I think they have the two best players in this series. And with that being said, when you combine all those, it stacks up in their favor.
I think Miami has kind of shocked everybody. You know, obviously, before the season rebooted, a lot of people thought we'd be seeing, you know, one of the LA teams and probably maybe the Bucks, possibly the Celtics, something like that. Miami got hot. They've played really good ball. Obviously, I'm hoping for an entertaining series. Miami's just, they've really, you know, outdone themselves. LA Lakers being there, it's really no surprise to anybody. So my question to you is it more detrimental for LeBron's legacy to lose this series, or would winning the series help his legacy more since he was expected to be here?
Well, winning always helps. I think that's always the key. If you're able to get it done, that always helps any situation. Losing this, I mean, they're a heavy favorite. I mean, Vegas has them at like a very heavy favorite. So with that being said, you know, these are the ones you're supposed to, you know, come through on. Miami is no pushover. They are a really good team. They have a great organization, so it's going to be tough. With that being said, Lakers are the favorite. They do have the better overall team, so I expect them to come through. But if he does not come through, it is something that will, it was something that will be held against them. I'll put it that way.
How heavy a favorite were the Heat back when the Mavericks beat them?
They weren't that high of a favorite. Okay. They're like -195, which is pretty solid, but nothing crazy. Right now, the Lakers start out like at -400, which means you got to put $400 to win $100 back if Lakers win the series, which is a heavy, heavy favorite, almost like a Mayweather type fight.
Yep.
So that's kind of the favorite they were. So that just kind of shows you what's going on regarding that particular situation. So they're a heavy favorite, and part of that is because the Lakers and the fan base, because they know that the Cavs Laker fans got to bet it, so they got to make sure the number's high enough. But still, it's still a high number. You normally don't see that in a finals matchup.
Yeah, it's currently sitting at -350, by the way. So, yeah, heavy favorite. Hey, Jameson, going back to the Heat a little bit, and Jimmy Butler specifically, obviously there's been documented situations with locker room and drama with Jimmy and maybe not being a great teammate, things like that. How has that changed for him in Miami, and why?
Well, you got to go to a place that accepts you for you. I think that's, at the end of the day, that's all it is. Miami is a place that allows him to be him, and they are very similar in demeanor and, you know, what they're like and whatnot. So it's not a surprise at all. You know, this is more of a situation to where, hey, everything fits. You know, that's the thing. Everything fits as a whole, as a team. You know, everyone, personality-wise, common goal-wise, you know, so it's a perfect matchup right now. And also, Jimmy is a all-star caliber player as well, so it helps when you have that kind of player, have that kind of attitude with that kind of team. Everything kind of fits together. Everything kind of, you know, falls in. Now, certain teams, he was at in the past, like in Minnesota, things didn't work out there. I think there was too much of a gap between the two young players on their team that they're paying a lot of money to. And Jimmy, but with that being said, I really do believe that he is on the right situation at the right time. Jimmy Butler's the guy you want on your team. You know, I know a lot of people get mad about, oh, well, attitude this, attitude that, or he's kind of quirky, or hey, he does this or that. But he wins. Like everywhere he's gone, he's won. Mm-hmm. Like the he took the T-Wolves to the playoffs, and they hadn't gotten there in 18 years or something like that. Like, he wins, and that's what it's all about. So for me personally, I'm a big believer of winning. So if someone could bring that to the table, it's all good.
Hey, Jameson, last one before we get you out of here. It's been said out there that Victor Oladipo is looking to move on from Indiana. Question there. I wanted to know what your thoughts were, because is it how much this has to do with maybe with the firing of the head coach, or maybe of the Victor Oladipo brand, because it can't be done in growing the business side of Victor Oladipo. Hard to do in Indiana, because if you remember, he was on the Masked Singer, and dude had pipes. He got it done. How much of that could be that he's wanting to get to a market where he can maybe do some of that? Maybe it's the shoes, I'm just trying to figure out why he'd want out of Indiana.
Well, it's not necessarily he wants out of Indiana. He's up for a contract extension. So, what happens is he's eligible for a really big contract, and the Pacers are a small market team that really doesn't want to do that. So with that being said, what happens is you get the situation to say, hey, rather than lose him for nothing, we can trade him now, get something back, and kind of reset our franchise. And they have, T.J. Warren, they have Jeremy Lamb, they have Malcolm Brogdon. So they have guys in the backcourt that can play. So if they trade Oladipo for anything of value, they get to, add to their collection of guys that they have, plus not have to get tied down in a big contract and a guy that just came back from a serious leg injury. So, those are the things that are taking place right now. So the problem with Indiana is that they're a team that does not go over the luxury tax whatsoever. So whatever is going on is going on, and they don't flinch when it comes to that. They don't go over the tax. They are not paying a luxury tax. With that being said, there's guys like Miles Turner on that team that's like, hey, if you don't want me here or if you guys aren't going to do this, you can trade me too. So it wouldn't be surprised if they made several moves that are cost-cutting type moves to improve their franchise.
Jameson, as always, man, it's a pleasure, man. Thanks for taking the time, and I can't wait to catch up next week, as we'll have some baseball to talk about. We have some playoffs under our belt. We have some games in NBA to talk about, man. I appreciate you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me, guys. Definitely appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was Jameson Welch right there, basketballnews.com, @ the THE Jameson on Twitter. Everyone have a great hump day. Thanks for listening to Greg Ethan Hooks.